God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's my honor and my privilege to introduce to you the old timers panel. They're going to be speaking in the order I introduce them. I've met each one of these speakers and they're just revving and raring to go. So hopefully if you sit back and keep an open mind and open heart, they'll share something with you that can carry you maybe another 24 hours. They do have a topic and they'll have 15 minutes each. And their topic is the things that my sponsor taught me or told me. I have Ken D, I have Buzz G, and I have Polly P, and they will speak in that order.
My name is Ken.
Yep.
And I'm an alcoholic, and I'm happy to be here. This is real exciting to me because I have never done June the 13th, 2020, so that in itself is exciting. I want to thank Woody for his patience in helping me with all the technology because it's not my major thing. The quickest way to get started is to tell you where I was. July 5th, 1970, I attended my first AA meeting. And at that time, I was living with my mom. My family had moved out of state because they were trying to maintain some sanity. And I had some legal problems. And I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on July 5th. Wearing a blue wool suit. And everybody there seemed to know I was a newcomer. And although I didn't know anybody in the room, everybody seemed to know me. And everybody seemed to be smiling. And everybody seemed to be happy and have some idea of what they were doing. And I was more like a cloud of dust. That's the only way I can describe it. Woody asked me to mention a couple of the things I heard early on that stayed with me and still resonate with me today. The first thing I heard is, before you have rabbit stew, you must have a rabbit. So hopefully you'll keep coming back after this meeting. And then the next thing they said is, you have to stop playing God. You can't pretend to be him because he never pretends to be you. And the other things that they said were things like, be what you is and not what you ain't. Because if you is what you ain't what you is. And with stuff like that, you wondered, I knew they didn't have wet brains, but there sure was a lot of damp spots. You know, and the other thing they said, it doesn't matter where you are. The only thing that matters is where you are. Now, if you're new and someone tells you that, you figure they're out there where the buses don't run. You know, that. What else can you say? And then the last thing I remember him saying was, are you here to surrender or are you just here for a ceasefire? And the deal was is that I was there, fortunately, to surrender. And I've been surrendering to the best of my ability ever since. And those people, all of them in one way or another, throughout my sobriety, played some kind of a role in helping me to not only get sober, but to stay sober. I can't help but be excited about the celebration being the 85th birthday of Alcoholics Anonymous and the founders, Bill and Bob. My reflection on Bill and Bob is two drunks that met in Akron. And as a result of that discussion, what came out of it was they both decided that they can't stay sober on their own. But if they shared their experience, strength, and hope with each other, they might be able to stay sober together. And an even bigger idea was maybe to carry that message to other suffering alcoholics and help them also. And from that conversation came the message of alcoholic. That was the spark that started the fire that spread all over the world. Today, alcoholics is everywhere in all kinds of languages and all kinds of cultures and all kinds of people. people who believe in God, people who don't believe in God, people who want to be God. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. And the people that I met when I first got here, they, as I said, they were all smiling and seemed to be happy. And they struck me as the kind of people that actually would get to go home when the visitor's light went off. And maybe they even had a home to go to. I don't know. But the concept of AA, like any good idea, is simple. And that is that we're going to take our biggest deficit, which was our alcoholism, and turn it into our biggest asset. And that simply means that we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. What we're going to do is turn that deficit into an asset. And to make that happen, we were going to have to follow certain steps. And among these steps were things like admitted to ourselves, to God, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. And if we could do that, that would further relieve us of the burden of self. How we got to where we got is very simple. Selfishness, self-centeredness, and an extreme example of self-will run riot. And then down the road, it came to me that the next step was to make retribution. And the retribution would be to basically make good on the wrongs we had done and turn those wrongs into learning experiences. And those learning experiences would tend to serve to bring about a better life for them and for me in particular. I told my mom that I had gotten sober and I was moving out, and she asked me about the program, and I told her I had a sobriety date, and she asked me what that was, and I told her July 5th, and she said, "Oh, honey, that's perfect for you. You did everything on a 5th. So the bottom line was is that the people we love knew we had a problem long before we did. And alcoholism is a different kind of problem, because you go from having a problem to being a problem. And you realize that in life, it's our perception that forms everything. When I was new and in sobriety, I used to say things like, I had lost everything and I was left with nothing. And now that I've been here a while, I can say safely, the everything I lost has turned out to be nothing. And the nothing I was left with has turned out to be everything. And the reality here is I learned a great deal about love and service. I even learned that service is nothing more than love made visible. I know it's a great day in Akron for the founders, and it's a great day for all the people involved. I looked up the word celebration because I wasn't too sure where it came from. And it comes from the Latin, and the Latin word is calibre. And the calibre simply means to assemble, to honor. And this is certainly the reality of what I'm doing here, assembling to honor. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love everything it does for me and to me. And I'm glad when other people see the results of that. In 1995, we had a convention, an international convention here in San Diego. It's the largest convention AA has ever had in on that basis. 56,000 people attended that convention. And when it was over, the police chief was asked, "How did that go with that many people?" And he said it was the easiest convention we ever had in town. And he went on to say the only complaint was that the police officers complained that these people engaged in too many huggings. It seemed like you let them cross the street or do something for them and they wanted to give you a hug. And he said, the police weren't used to that. And in light of current events, you can see that the reality is there are people who are always striving to do the right thing. Alcoholics is made up of people very prior to getting here is based on total imperfection. But once they're here, it's something else. I've been here long enough to see people come in new and be here 25, 35, 40 years. And I've been fortunate enough to hear their fifth step when they first came in. And unfortunately, I've been here to watch all too many of them pass away. And when they pass away, they have what's called a celebration of life. And that celebration of life is consisting of people getting together and talking about all the good things they did. And I sit there and I smile in my heart and in my soul because it becomes more and more obvious. They're not talking about the person who I met when they first came in, nor heard their fifth step. They're talking about what that person has become. And that becoming involved cleaning up the wreckage of your past. It takes some of us a long time to do that, but it's worth the work because we're not cleaning up the wreckage of the past so that we can move back to it. We're cleaning it up so that we can move forward. You know, there's a poem that goes, "You cannot catch hold of it, nor can you let go of it. In not being able to get it, you get it. When you are speaking, it's silent. When you are silent, it speaks. There is some power greater than me that has seen fit to allow me, with all the miscues I made in life and all the mistakes I've made, to come into a program that has given me a new design for living that works even now in the rough going. And I can see plainly that no matter how far down the scale any of us has gone, the experience we have to help another alcoholic is obvious because we speak the language of the heart. I'd like to thank you for my 15 minutes. I'd like to say God bless you. Enjoy the day. Take really good care of one another. And remember, above all things, love is the greatest gift in the world. It's also the greater power. If you can learn to practice love, that's it. And don't get concerned in the language. Just practice as best you can the principles. The principles never change. And thank God they don't, because in times of transition, it's what holds us together. So I'll let you zoom on to the next person. And I'm really happy to be here. And again, thank Woody and the committee for inviting me. God bless you. Take real good care of one another. Thank you.
Go, Buzz.
Okay. Hi, I'm Buzz Green, and I live in Girard, Pennsylvania. Can you hear me, Woody? Okay, and Woody told me to talk about what my sponsor had given me, and as long as we got 25 days, I had 7 sponsors. He told me to get an old-timer, and I got an old-timer, and he died, and I got another old-timer. He died. They kept dying on me, but I learned a lot. My first sponsor, him and I drank together, fought together, didn't like each other, and his sponsor told him to get the dirtiest, messiest case he could find and work with him. And so he picked me, and we used to go to meetings, and on the way home from the meeting, he would be on some topic like Easy Does It or something, and Ed and I had to get to arguing over what Easy Does It meant, and And when we got home, we'd be out in the lawn rolling around, beating the hell out of each other, trying to figure out what easy does it really meant. And that was my first sponsor. But, you know, thank God, God put him in my life, and I thank God every day that he was my first sponsor, because if I'd have got a guy I couldn't fight with, if I'd have got a guy who was really nice to me, I'd have never made this program. But as I went down through the next sponsor I got, because my was an Al-Anon. He was an AA and Al-Anon both, and I didn't know that for 2 years. Had I known that, I'd have never asked him. You know, but Louis taught me about the things that Don was talking about, or Ken was talking about it. You know, the family. I had wrecked my family. You know, I had got to the point where my father and mother had disowned me legally. I got a registered letter in the mail, and my wife and my children were not happy. That's easy to put it, because she's here listening. So, but we you know, just tear our family life apart, and that's what I was doing. Selfish and self-centered, as Ken talked about, and that was me to a T. And so Louis helped me with that a great deal. And then Louis moved to Florida, and he's the one that got me going into the prisons and carrying the message in the prisons. And when he came out of the prison down in Florida one night, he climbed in his van and dropped over from a heart attack right there. And so I got another sponsor, a guy from Geneva, Ohio, Jim. And Jim was one of them old under-the-bridge skid row bums that they talk about. And he was what I needed at that time. And you know, he really helped me with a lot of things, like keeping it simple, one day at a time. And he used to tell me, look, kid, you don't know nothing, just sit down and shut up. And I had to do that a lot. And he wasn't afraid to tell me that in the middle of a meeting, you know, when I was trying to impress people with all that I knew. And he didn't believe I really knew it. And Jim died, and kid I went to school with and had a couple of years more sobriety than I. And we lived in the same town, and we run around together to AA meetings. And we decided we would sponsor each other. Well, I'm going to tell you, that didn't work at all. And mostly I was my sponsor, and I tried to be his, and that didn't work because he didn't want one. So, you know, I went on, and I got another old-timer, and I did a lot of 12-step work. And when I came in, we used to do an awful lot of 12-step work, and we were calling on somebody almost every night, go out middle of the night and pick them up and take them to the hospital. And Paul and I did a lot of that because he only lived up the road a couple miles, and every time he'd get a call, he's got 10 years more than I got, I believe. And every time he'd get a call, he'd call me, and I'd go pick him up when we'd go on that 12-step call. And I have an old-timer who tells me up to this day, if you want to stay sober, keep a newcomer at your side. You always got a newcomer at your side. You're not going to forget where you came from. And Paul got to playing a little bit of a Gestapo, and my ego and my pride got in the way, and I fired him. And I went for a while without a sponsor. And then I run into a guy up in Ohio named George. And George really, really knew me like a book. We had never met, but he was my kind of alcoholic, and I was, I guess, his kind of alcoholic. He helped me more than any of the other ones, you know. He taught me to ask God for help in the morning and thank him at night. And I can remember when I first hit detox, and an old-timer told me that. And I said, look, Charlie, that might work for you, but I don't believe in God. And he says, well, if you don't have a God, then use mine. I said, well, you old fool, that won't work. And he says, well, try it. What do you got to lose? And so, well, I was still in detox, and then I went to a drying out place. And while I was there, I used Charlie's God and say, okay, Charlie's God, keep me sober today. And, you know, when I was in detox, I could have had a drink. When I was in rehab, I could have had a drink. And because I said those prayers is the only reason I could think why I didn't take it. You know, and I didn't take it in that. And I always thank them at night. But I always said Charlie's God. See, I was brought up as a Christian, and I was afraid of God is what I was. It wasn't that I didn't believe, but, you know, there were none of them Ten Commandments that man wrote about that I hadn't broken. And so I knew he hated me. So if he hated me that bad, I knew I was going to hell. And if I'm going to hell, I'm going in, you know, first class. I'm not going to monkey around. And that's the way I went through my life drinking, just partying and raising hell. And I'm the guy that would jump up on the bar and say, if there's a God, strike me dead. And he never struck me dead. So I said, see, I proved there is no God. And I went like that for a long time. After I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, I started thanking Charlie's God. You know, the more meetings I went to, the more I listened to people, the more stories I heard about their faith in a power greater than themselves, the more I began to believe it. You know, the God of my childhood was really the God I needed to go back to. And I did. So I started praying to God, and I started reading the Bible along with my morning readings. And, you know, today, I was thinking about that when I was out on my front porch this morning. And, you know, here we got some eagles that fly around our yard, and I got 5 bird feeders out, and I got a lot of beautiful flowers in the yard. And I'm having my morning coffee and reading and doing my meditating out of my front porch, and thinking about when I was brand new, still in detox, there was a doctor from Cleveland came down to the big meeting in Erie, and they took us into that big meeting, and that doctor talked about meditating in the morning. And I didn't have any idea what he was talking about, but he said he'd sit on his porch overlooking Lake Erie and just meditate on what God talked to him about and what he talked to God about. And I said, that crazy old fool. And guess what? This morning, that's what I was doing. I was sitting out on my front porch talking to God, and trying to figure out what he wanted me to do or what he wanted me to say today. And I after making amends to the family and just listening to all the old timers, working with a lot of new people, I spent a lot of years going in. I'm not doing that right now, but I spent a lot of years going into prisons and talking into inmates in there. I never spent any other time in prison other than overnighters. But, you know, there was always kind of a secret longing in my heart. I wanted to be a bad guy. And so I didn't mind going into prison. And I made a lot of good friends and had them keep in touch that way. They're sober today. I believe that God has intervened in my life. My first AA meeting was, I was about 28, 29 years old. I'd been in DTs for 4 or 5 days. The local AA meeting, which was all men, they came down and 12-stepped me for 4 or 5 days, but I don't remember any of it because I was in DTs. Over in the last day, a fella took me and my wife to a meeting in Albion, Pennsylvania, him and his wife. And when we got back from that meeting, I told Louie, he let us out the front door, and I said, Louie, thank you, that was nice, but I'll call you, don't call me. But you know what? For the next 10 years, because I went up drinking that night. He'd mentioned some bars in Ashtabula I'd never been to, and that's what I did. And for 10 years I drank, It was never any fun anymore. After that first AA meeting, it spoiled my drinking. On September 13th, 1974, in a bar not too far from home, I had my last drink. And I don't know why, I don't know what, I come home and I told my wife, that damn shrink of yours will talk to me right now, I'll go talk to him. And she called him and got him on the phone and he talked to him. And I ended up in detox and been in AA ever since. And, you know, something happened and I don't know whether I asked God for help or whether I didn't. But if I did, he sure has answered. And, you know, he put AA in my life many times, the opportunity to go to AA many times. And many times I said no. Well, and I finally just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't get drunk and I couldn't get sober. I was just sick all the time, 24 hours a day. I don't think I drew a sober breath for probably the last 4 or 5 years of my life. Most people didn't really know how drunk I was because they never seen me sober enough to tell. You know? And I just want to thank all you people. Thank Woody for conning me into this thing. I'm not a computer guy at all. My wife or my daughter set this all up for me, and I'm sitting on her porch doing the talking. And so I'm going to thank you, and I guess I'm done, Woody.
Hi, everybody. My name is Polly Pistol, and I'm an alcoholic. And by God's grace, in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't had a drink since April the 11th of 1977. And I'm so delighted to be here. I am so honored. And I thank Woody for inviting me and being able to be on the panel with Ken and Buzz. And I've known Ken for 40 years, so it's just been an absolute delight to be able to share this with him. And I heard Matthew this morning, and I just want to thank you, Matthew. I just took away from him the word grace, and he was talking about grace in his life. And I just want to say that my 43 years sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous has been about grace. I have been graced. I have been graced. I have been forgiven. I have been blessed. I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous a child abuser. I could not take care of my children. I abused them. I neglected them. I had a husband who was very ill. He was 100% disabled from the military, very ill, and I couldn't take care of him. And by God's grace, I've been able to stay sober in these rooms and be forgiven and have the grace of forgiveness from a loving God. And when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, my husband asked me to go, would I please go to treatment? And he said, it's not far from our house. And this treatment center turned out to be a detox center. And I went into this detox center and there was a man there and he was the director of that detox center. And I was to have a spiritual connection with him that would go all the way from Hearst, Texas to Long Beach, California. And what happened was he started to share with us. He had been a Monsignor priest in the Navy and he'd gotten sober at Long Beach Naval Hospital. He touched my heart from the beginning. I didn't stay sober that first detox. But what ended up happening is I ran off with a guy and detoxed for 58 days, and I wound up in a motel room in Euless, Texas, pretty beaten up and in a really bad shape. And he found out about it, and he came and got me, and he 12-stepped me, and he brought me back into that treatment center. And I ended up being, my husband ended up court committing me to treatment in Dallas, Texas. And in that treatment center, they told me I had to get a sponsor. And what I did is I ended up getting this man as a sponsor. I didn't know anything about, you know, women are supposed to get women and men are supposed to get men. But all I knew is this man had touched me. And what happened is I, when I left, when I was ready to leave that treatment center, he says, Polly, be at my house when you, the very day you get out of treatment. And the very day I got out of treatment, I was at his house. One of the things that I'm really grateful for was that day I was able to be teachable. That day I was able to follow sponsorship direction. He asked me to be at his house, and I was there. And by God's grace in this program, I'm still able to take sponsorship direction. I'm so grateful that I'm able to be sponsorable. And then with that, I feel like I'm able to sponsor other women. And what happened was, what Frank gave me, I love what Buzz talked about with his, one of his sponsors, who said, you know, Buzz, just believe that I believe. I just believe in my God, Buzz. And that's what Frank did. I had been raised Southern Baptist, and so I was a lot like what Buzz had said. I knew about God, but I knew God was a very angry God, and I knew that those Baptist preachers every Sunday morning told me that I was going to burn in hell for my sins. And what I had done, the way I had, what I had done to my sons, what I had done to my husband, not being able to help my mother with my dad who was dying of colon cancer, and I'm an only child, I just knew that there's no way that God was not, that I was going to burn in hell. And then leaving that treatment center, I tried to take my life, and I knew that that was an immortal sin. I heard a lot about immortal sins, and I just knew that what I had done was not forgivable. And Frank used to sit there and tell me, he says, Polly, I'm a priest, but I did not find God in the Catholic Church. I found God in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I began to be able to think, I began to be able to believe in Frank's God. And Frank gave me a solid foundation. I love what the 12 and 12 talks about, an unshakable foundation. I got out of that treatment center, and I came prancing into his house, and I told him I was on the sixth step. I told him that I had taken my fifth step the day before, and he said, Polly, that's treatment center cycle Bible. You are on the first step. We are going to do the steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I love that. He said, we're going to do the steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what I do today. And that's what I do with the women I sponsor. That hasn't changed in 43 years. That is exactly the same for me as it was that very first time, that very first, when I was 6 weeks sober, and I was sitting, because I stayed in that treatment center for 6 weeks, and I sat in Frank's house, and he gave me those 12 steps. Frank was my sponsor for the first 5 years that I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was 3.5 years sober, I had gone to an AA convention, my first AA convention of any size. And it was in Austin, Texas. And a whole bunch of us got in a car, and we stayed in a hotel, and we went to Austin, Texas. And I was going to this conference, and I heard a lady speak. And her name was Dottie Harris, and she's gone to the big meeting in the sky today. And I listened to her, and she touched me in a place I had never been touched. And I just sat there, and I said, if ever I am anywhere where this lady is, I'm going to ask her to sponsor me. I had no idea where my life was going to take me. And when I was 3.5 years sober, I ended up marrying another member of this fellowship. And God willing, and the creek don't rise, come October the 27th, he and I will be married 40 years, more great in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he and I ended up getting married, and we went to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then Dave got a job in Santa Monica, California. And we were going to be on our way in 1981 to Santa Monica, California. And when I got to Santa Monica, California, I wasn't there any time until I called the AA Central Office, and I asked them if they knew this lady. And, of course, they did. and they gave me her phone number. And she lived in Lakewood, California, which was about an hour away. And I had her phone number, and I called her up, and I asked her, I told her that I had seen her in 1979, I can't remember, and that I had seen her in Austin, Texas, and that I wanted to meet with her if I could. And what she did is she told me where she went to meetings. And where she went to meetings was at the Big Book Group in Bellflower, California. And what I did on Monday night, and that meeting met at 8:30 on Monday night, and for me to be at that meeting. And what I did is I was at that meeting. And where Frank had given me the foundation, and what I call an unshakable foundation, and he had told me about service. He says, what you're to do is to work these steps, and you're to get into service. And the first job he gave me in services is he said, Polly, you have a car. So you go and you pick up people and you get them to AA meetings. That's your job. And then he taught me how to take somebody through the steps as well. And what happened was, as I met her, and I met this beautiful woman, and I asked her if I could have coffee with her. And she told me I could. And she was so sweet. And I sat there and told her that I would love for her to be my sponsor. And she accepted right away. And she acted as if it was her honor to sponsor me. And I felt like, oh my God, this woman is she is so beautiful. And what Dottie brought to me the most is Dottie had a love for God. And what she did is she gave me her God. Frank had given me his God and said, Polly, just the same thing as Buzz's sponsor had said. He said, Polly, just believe that I believe. And that's what I had done. And Dottie had started to talk to me about her God. And she would tell me how special I was to God and how much God loved me. And she started to teach me about her God. And what sponsorship has been for me has been a journey toward a relationship with God. And has been a journey towards a relationship with God by being sponsored and by sponsoring. And it was real important to Dottie that you had sponsees. And that you, and it was important that you, that I have a sponsor, that she have a sponsor, and that I sponsor. And those are the things that are important to me today. Sponsorship is something that is really important to me. Because what has happened is, from the God that I came to the rooms with Alcoholics Anonymous, a God who I knew what I was afraid of, because I was certain that I was just doomed to burn in hell. The God I have today is a God that I know that loves me and loves all of me and has forgiven me. And the reason I can tell how much I have been forgiven is one of the things that has happened to me is my two sons, who I drugged through the disease of alcoholism and were 14 and 16 years old when I got sober, have forgiven me. And if I can be forgiven for the things that I did to them and they have forgiven me, that is just such a little bit of what God has done in the forgiveness for me. And Dottie would always talk about how her father loved her and that it was so important that we love. And I loved that. I can't remember right now whether it was Matthew talking about love or if it was Ken. But I know that all of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, what this whole fellowship is about, is one alcoholic helping another alcoholic, and it comes from love. And one of the things that Frank shared with me, and also Dottie shared that as well, is Frank said, Polly, you can tell anybody the truth if you tell it with love and they can hear you. He says, but you can take, if you tell them with anger, they probably can't hear you. And he says, but if you tell them the truth, they can hear. And what I have been taught, I was a person who came from a family of love. My parents loved me. I was an only child. My first AA sponsor cherished me and loved me. My second AA sponsor talked of love. And Dottie died 5 years ago. And today I have my third AA sponsor. And her name is Rena Kett. And she is an amazing member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she, too, has that relationship with God. She, too, has that love. And she, too, talks about the blessings that we're given here and how all of us are blessed. And whatever is happening in our lives, just like what's going on right now, God will turn it into a blessing. That every opportunity is just an opportunity to grow. And Dottie used to say, and one of the things that I love so much that she said, Polly, life is just a spiritual classroom. What we're here for is to grow spiritually. And by God's grace, you were given the program of Alcoholics Anonymous so that you could grow spiritually and you could share that love with another alcoholic by tirelessly giving of your time. No matter when you didn't feel like doing it, when you didn't feel like taking a phone call, when you didn't feel like going and doing a 12-step call and being in your car for one more time and have to drive somebody to detox, those are the things that that you're going to have the greatest blessing for. The person who's going to call you 50 times a day because they're so scared to be sober, that person who you get to talk to and get to help and make them not afraid that God loves them and that they are going to be blessed if they just stay here. Just stay here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I, too, like Matthew, have been blessed by being able to live my marriage vows. And God helped me there as well, to be able to live my marriage vows. And no matter what happens, that we stay married. And that in sickness or in health, and right now my husband is not well, but I get the privilege of being able to care for him. And I wouldn't have been able to go to Founders Day because I wouldn't have been able to leave Dave. But because of Zoom, because this is how we have to do it, I get the absolute privilege and opportunity of being able to share on a panel at Founders Day. What a glorious, glorious gift. God bless everybody, and thank you for listening.
All right. I want to thank you. Thank each and every one of my panelists, Ken, Buzz, and Polly. You guys look so good out there. I don't know why they call it Old Timers Panel. But I want to remind everyone that our next meeting will be a speaker meeting at 1:30 Eastern Time. Please visit www.foundersday.org for more information about the upcoming meeting schedule. And please see the information that's displayed before and after all meetings regarding the availability of recordings of this weekend's speakers. And now I'd like all of you to join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you once again. And that's the conclusion of our Old Timers Panel. Thank you out there, guys. Great job.